Love and talents blended, pure, sanctified love, expressed by Christ's life work, is a sacred perfume. Like an open bottle of perfume, it fills the whole house with fragrance. Eloquence, an extended knowledge of the truth, outward devotion, rare talents, if mingled with sacred, humble love, will become as fragrant as the open box of ointment. But gifts alone, ability alone, the choicest endowments alone, cannot take the place of love, quoted. Multitudes acclaim Christ, the dignitaries of the temple are dumb with astonishment. Where now is the boasted power of priests and rulers over the people? The authorities had announced that whoever should acknowledge Jesus to be the Christ was to be put out of the synagogue and deprived of its sacred privileges. Yet here are the enthusiastic multitude shouting loud hosannas to the Son of David, and recounting the titles given him by the prophets. As well might the priests and rulers attempt to deprive the earth of the shining face of the sun, as to shut from the world the beams of glory from the Son of Righteousness. In spite of all opposition, the kingdom of Christ was confessed by the people. When the priests and rulers recovered their voices, they murmured among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." But they soon shook off the paralyzing effect of the strange exhibition which they had witnessed, and tried to intimidate the crowd by threatening to complain of them to the civil authorities as raising an insurrection. No rest for some, never before was there such a general knowledge of Jesus as when he hung upon the cross. He was lifted up from the earth, to draw all to him. Into the hearts of many who beheld that crucifixion scene, and who heard Christ's words, was the light of truth to shine. With John they would proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There were those who never rested until, searching the scriptures and comparing passage with passage, they saw the meaning of Christ's mission. They saw that free forgiveness was provided by him whose tender mercy embraced the whole world. They read the prophecies regarding Christ, and the promises so free and full, pointing to a fountain open for Judah and Jerusalem. Study all in light from cross, the sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, must be studied in the light which streams from the cross of Calvary, and in connection with the wondrous, central truth of the Savior's atonement. Those who study the Redeemer's wonderful sacrifice grow in grace and knowledge. I present before you the great, grand monument of mercy and regeneration, salvation and redemption, the Son of God uplifted on the cross of Calvary. This is to be the theme of every discourse. Christ declares, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The cross planted between earth and heaven, when Christ came to this world, he found that Satan had everything as he wanted it. The adversary of God and man thought that he was indeed the prince of the earth, but Jesus laid hold of the world to take it out of the power of Satan. He came to redeem it from the curse of sin and the penalty of transgression, that the transgressor might be forgiven. He planted the cross between earth and heaven, and between divinity and humanity, and as the Father beheld the cross, he was satisfied. He said, "It is enough, the offering is complete. God and man may be reconciled. Those who have lived in rebellion against God may become reconciled, if as they see the cross, they become repentant, and accept the great propitiation that Christ has made for their sins. In the cross they see that mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The cross a center in the world, the cross stands alone, a great center in the world. It does not find friends, but it makes them. It creates its own agencies. Christ proposes that men shall become laborers together with God. He makes human beings his instrumentalities for drawing all men unto himself. A divine agency is sufficient only through its operation on human hearts with its transforming power, making men co-laborers with God. See.